Assalamu alaikum. First, I'd like to say that I'm honored to be on the distinguished panel, and I don't make differences among the panelists. I think all are contributing, and I think that the key thing is that those of us who have come under attack by the state have come under attack because we have been trying to complete the legacy of Brother Malcolm. And Brother Malcolm, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, was one of the first freedom fighters that was assassinated in our present day, black liberation struggle. There are many, many freedom fighters who have been assassinated, and we can go back to Reconstruction, where, you know, there was a whole generation who were assassinated even in the 1860s. So assassination was nothing new. It is only when the power structure becomes threatened, when a individual represents a movement and is in a position of moving or mobilizing people, will he or she be repressed. And I want to talk about two different developments. Malcolm was part of a collective movement. If you listen to Brother Muhammad Babu, he was talking about discussions that Malcolm had been in prior to his assassination. Well, Malcolm in a day might be in 10 or 15 kinds of discussions like those with many different people from many different organizations. And essentially, through a battery of people, and some people who have spoken here at this conference were part of that, we organized both horizontally and vertically, in the sense that the OAAU, the Organization of Afro-American Unity, of which Malcolm was putting forth, was to be the broad National Liberation Front type of organization, or Black United Front. He actually wanted to call it the National Liberation Front, but in the discussions that was said, that that word would be premature in 1964, maybe even premature in 1990. So that was the horizontal development. Malcolm was also part of the Revolutionary Action Movement, which was the vertical organizational development, going from secretive to semi-secretive to semi-public, of a cadre kind of development. And there was an interlinking of the two. I don't know if, you know, what the legal ramifications of that is, but I have a friend who happens to be incarcerated, Herman Ferguson, who was head of Malcolm's Liberation School, which he had been accused of being a member of the Revolutionary Action Movement. I don't know if he's admitting if he was a member of the Revolutionary Action Movement or not, so I say he was accused of being a member of the Revolutionary Action Movement. And he's, you know, still in, locked down to this very hour. So he was also part of the OAAU and was associated with the Revolutionary Action Movement. I like to go and show how Malcolm was not moved upon individually or in isolation. Okay, there were two brothers who were incarcerated, criminalized prior to Malcolm's assassination, that directly linked into Malcolm's assassination, and who had been previously members of the Revolutionary Action Movement. In fact, Khalil Said was sent in to the OAAU by myself to protect Malcolm, because Malcolm said that he didn't know who in the OAAU he could trust. So we could trust younger people because they were less corruptible at that time, and maybe even at this time. And Khalil was in his young 20s. He was a Sunni Muslim, came from a Sunni Muslim family, someone that could be trusted. And he was sent in to be part of Malcolm's internal security. It so happened that him and Walter Bow were entrapped by an agent. I think his name was Raymond Woods. So the Statue of Liberty bomb plot, which was created some 10 to 15 days before Malcolm's assassination, was directly linked to Malcolm's assassination because Khalil Saeed was a key member of Malcolm's internal security inside of the OAAU. So the criminalization and disruption of him disrupted Malcolm's internal security wing or organization inside the OAAU and Muslim Mosque Incorporated, and Khalil Saeed was a member of the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, at one time was a member of the Revolutionary Action Movement and the OAAU at the same time. So, you know, like there was, you know, people flowed from different kinds of developments. So I just wanted to mention that to show that the state, you know, moved on Walter Bow and Khalil Saeed with the Black Liberation Front conspiracy to disrupt Malcolm, to throw Malcolm off so that Malcolm could be vulnerable to attack. You know, so when we think about Malcolm, we can't think about him in isolation. There were other people, and we know that there was constant assassination, harassment, and what have you. You know, I've stood on the street corners of Brooklyn with guns, with Al Haynes, you know, and challenged from harassing us after Malcolm's assassination. You know, probably now would shoot us down. You know, then they didn't expect no black men to come out with guns, and it caught them off guard. They weren't caught off guard later on. You know, so you know, these kinds of things happen. Don Freeman, who was a school teacher in Cleveland, Ohio, who was a member of the Revolutionary Action Movement, was fired, was charged with perjury as far as Cleveland, Ohio. Now, you know, we knew that this was going to happen. A federal grand jury was called to investigate the Statue of Liberty bomb plot. This is all in 2 or 3 weeks after Malcolm's assassination. And people who are at this conference from all over the country, of students who had gone to Cuba the year before, were subpoenaed and brought in for testimony. None of us testified, you know. We all took the Fifth and what have you. I lost memory because I was beaten May 27, 1963 by 20 police. And I periodically lose memory, you know. So I, you know, I don't remember nothing, right? So, you know, and then, you know, so. this grand jury was one of the first grand juries that was brought on the Black Liberation Movement, because it was expanded from the Statue of Liberty bomb plot to investigate all people who were un-American. So, you know, these grand juries, which are very prevalent today, you know, started many years ago. So all of this to criminalize the Black Liberation Movement. From there, We attempted to regroup after Malcolm's assassination, and when, along with Al-Kamal Muhammad, or Shelton Duncan, and his cadre of young people here in New York, we formed the Black Panther Party of New York, which was the initial seed idea for an idea that spread later on in 66. Because we were attempting to organize youth, we took that idea and went into Philadelphia and attempted to organize the gangs. Now we knew, okay, we knew they were coming. Through our own intelligence, we knew that Hoover had secret testimony in Congress trying to call a national emergency in 1966. And we knew we did not, some of the key organizers did not have long to exist, but we were going to attempt to do whatever we could do as long as we could do it. Now, through the Black Panther intelligence, we found out that McKinley Welsh, I've put this in black and white, by the way, McKinley Welsh, who some people might remember, was a boss agent. And McKinley, I'm not going to say what tactics we used, but McKinley was a little afraid. And so he decided to let us know that he was an agent for the Bureau of Secret Services. And he told me in the early part of 1967, that it did not matter wherever I was in the United States, there was going to be a sweep in the spring of 1967. And that his superior officers didn't trust him with the exact data. Well, they probably even know, I don't know if McKinley is alive today, because they probably know that McKinley told us this. My house was bugged, so they probably even knew about this. The Revolutionary Action Movement in 67 came under attack, and came under attack in 66 in other parts of the country, where we had the policy, we didn't admit that we were members of the organization, and if we could, we would flee. You know, we would get in the whirlwind. And there are many organizers, some were swept up in 66 and 67, some escaped, some are still in the whirlwind. So the criminalization of the movement, criminalization of the movement is coordinated with other moves of attack against the Black Liberation Movement. Because what happened in 66 and 67 laid the groundwork for the assassination of Dr. King. Because if we had been on the streets, and if we had been able not to be put on the defensive of raising bail monies or fleeing or engaging in the premature kinds of things that we had to engage in to get the power structure off our backs, there would be many organizers on the street when Dr. King was assassinated. A lot of the COINTELPLAN is to identify, seek out, and destroy. So what we have to be better at doing is building ranks that are deep, that go deep. And this is, you know, why do I write? You know, this is one reason why I write. To pass on the experiences and to sum up the experiences of what were the weaknesses and what were the strengths. And this is what I've tried to do in Black Liberation, Toward Black Liberation Part 1. And in one section is how do we advance the Black Liberation Movement forward. And that was first drafted in 1980. As a document for the African People's Party and updated in trying to say that we need to develop a strategy. Now, Malcolm did have a strategy. Now, we need to take the aspects of Malcolm's strategy, and a lot of that is in Malcolm's speeches. A lot of that, you know, we need to sum up. And I think this is what, you know, the tribunal is all about. So, you know, I'm not going to, I'm better at just conversational talk. And, but what I wanted to let you know is that there is a whole historical legacy, as Brother DeRuba will get into. By the time the Black Panther Party from Oakland, California developed, there had been a whole historical legacy of repression. So, and that legacy of repression against Malcolm goes back to the legacy of repression against Paul Robeson and Dr. Du Bois, you know, and that repression goes back to the repression against Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, you know, and that repression goes back, and we need to know what has happened to our leadership as they came along, you know, and not just identify the individual leader, because Malcolm was not the only one who was killed of his generation, of his organization. All right, and we need to study that. You know, his second and third and almost fourth in command were killed. You know, and it's little talk about the deaths in Boston and other places, and people found hung on lampposts in Brooklyn. See, there's no talk about these cadres that could have picked up where things were left off. There's no talk about this. And there are people in the community who know about these brothers and sisters. You know, the same thing with Marcus Garvey. Half of the Garveyites had to go under, had to disperse for years, you know. So, and many, you know, Malcolm's father was a Garveyite. And what happened to Malcolm's father, you know? So, you know, this repression goes on and on. The Moors under Noble Drew Ali, they killed Noble Drew Ali, and they killed Moors, and, you know, so it goes on and on and on. So we need to sum up the history of repression and learn how to survive against repression. And it's one thing I think that we can learn from the South African struggle is that in South Africa, the brothers and sisters have learned to take repression and learned to use repression to build rather than destroy. See, and repression has destroyed us and set us back. I mean, we're seeing Conrads today that we haven't seen in 20 years, all right? So, you know, like, it takes us 20 years or 30 years to regroup. So we can't allow for this, and the repressions, if you are doing something, we talk about Malcolm, like we say, we don't want to have Malcolm on the wall. We don't want to have Malcolm here. All right? We want to have Malcolm in our hearts, make Malcolm live. And if we make Malcolm live, it means that we're going to carry out Malcolm's actions. All right? We're going to be the living embodiment of Malcolm. If we do that, repression's going to come on us. Repression's going to come on the next generation. So we have to learn to take repression in the future and build the strategies, the networks, and the organizational forms that we build. The mass movement, repression, builds the mass movement rather than setting us back. Assalamu alaikum.